so many blessings that we have no idea about. Just being able to go into that prayer closet, whether it's a little closet or not, to that little room that's just me and Jesus can talk. So, so thankful. We've talked about that last couple weeks in Sunday school, about the veil being rent, being able to go straight into the holiest of holies to talk to the Lord directly. It's a blessing. I'm going to start off in the 11th chapter of John, the Bible story that I thought I knew pretty well. I love it when God brings revelations on me to see it a little different. This is the story of Lazarus. And after reading the story for this time and kind of studying it with the Lord, this story really had nothing to do with Lazarus. Because all Lazarus did was die. Right? The rest of it has to do with his sisters, Mary and Martha, and Jesus. And if you go through, I'm not going to read the first 17 verses. That's Jesus finds out that he is sick and not doing well. I do want to read just, I think it's the third verse. Sorry, the fourth verse. And it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. As soon as Jesus heard about it and started to answer to them after they had told him that he was sick, he had already knew what was going to happen. He already knew that Lazarus was going to go ahead and die, and he already knew that he wasn't going to be there in time, and he already knew that he wasn't going to heal him and keep him from dying. In fact, it was just the opposite. He knew that he was going to die. He was ready for him to die because he was ready to know to do what he had to do to glorify God. That God, through the death of this man, Jesus could come through and God could be lifted up. Has nothing to do with Lazarus. He was just a vessel, a tool that could be used for God to be glorified. I'm going to start in the 17th verse. We see Jesus come into town and sees Martha to begin with. And it says, and when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. It's about a couple, 2-3 miles, not very far off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary for to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Jesus was already on kind of on the run from the Jews, that they were after him. They had already tried to get him once, and he had got away to safety. And they had kind of, the apostles that were with him, decided, you really shouldn't be going over there. They're after you. And he said, I'm going to go. And I kind of love the Thomas kind of like, well, all right, we're all going to go and die with you. I always find the humor in the word. But they're going anyways, and we see that he's there. And in the 21st, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary stayed still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Straight out telling her, he's going to rise again. Now Martha, knowing what's going to happen and knowing what Jesus is going to do in the future to come, she answers him and said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She knows that Lazarus is saved, and when Jesus comes back, he's going to rise again, right, Jesus? I know this. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet may shall be alive. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master come and calleth for thee. As soon as she had heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews which were with that, I'm sorry, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. So Mary hears about Jesus there, and I can't imagine Jesus coming in to meet me, but if I know he's coming to see me, I want to go to him quickly. And that's what she did, and the Jews don't really know what she's doing. So in the 32nd verse, it says, And when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. It's like what Martha said. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where hath he laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now we have a verse here, the shortest verse in the Bible that I liked as a kid, save for a memory verse, because it was easy to remember. But it's such a powerful verse that I didn't understand as a kid, but the simple fact that Jesus wept. He was a man just like you and I, although he was fully God. He had a love for this brother, and that Lazarus, I think they were probably pretty close friends, the whole family. And for him to have died and to see his sisters in just a hurt state, knowing that they were just in pain, he hurt too, to a point that he wept. The Lord was man. The Lord felt the same feelings that I have. The Lord went through the same type of troubles that I've gone through. He knows me inside and out because he went through it too.
Pastor, we said we're doing chapter 10?
11, chapter 11, John 11. Yeah. 36th verse, it said, And then said the Jews, Behold now, he loved him. It was obvious to see that Jesus had a love for that man. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, for thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with napkin. Jesus saying to them, Loose him and let him go. The story that I've always put Lazarus as a part of has nothing to do with him. That just always, it was just Jesus and Lazarus, and he rose from the dead. This is more about the Mary and Martha coming into him and Jesus coming into town to see all that was going on with the death of this man that he loved, obviously. And he told them right away what he could do. And I don't think they really believed it. As he talking to the walked into the to the gravesite there, they rolled away the stone. They said, "What? There's no reason he's in there. He's dead. He probably stinks now. He's been dead a while." Not knowing what Jesus could do, or not really believing what Jesus can do. I believe at this point in time they were stricken with grief, and they didn't have the faith that they needed in the Lord that he could raise him from the dead. But Jesus knew from the very beginning, way back before he even left home, what he was going to do. But as I go through here, I look at the weakness that we have in our faith, mostly our faith. We're weak. Every one of us is weak in the faith, and we make God too small because we're weak in the faith that we have for him. He can take this world and change it. But do you believe that? We see all the evil around us and the bad things that are happening. I'm going to tell you, my God is big enough to fix it all. Do you believe that he can? I feel sometimes we give up. And we sell God short. And we just don't have the faith that he's going to do things that we want him to do. And so that causes us to maybe not try as hard. Why am I going to put my effort into this individual or these people when I know they're not going to change? I think Jonah had that same idea when God told him to go to Nineveh. He's like, he didn't like the Ninevites. He hated them. I'm going to tell you, they were bad people. He didn't like what they were doing. They had caused trouble in the past. And he wanted nothing to do with them, especially to go help them out by bringing God's word to them. So the first thing he did was turn and went the opposite direction. He was weak in the faith. Even though he knew God told him to go there, he was weak that God could take care of it. You know what happened there. Obviously, even my boy said this morning, when God's will needs to be done, it's going to be done. Amen. If it took him going the opposite direction, getting thrown overboard, swallowed by a whale, and spit out on the beach over there, God's will is going to get done. I want him to use me as much as he can. I want to be faithful. I want to have the inspiration to go with God, to trust him, to know that wherever he leads me, that's where I need to be. And I may not understand it. I'm sure Mary and Martha didn't understand why their brother had to die when Jesus could heal him. But as Jesus stood by that graveside, that tomb, and that stone was rolled away, and everyone there, all the other Jews that were with him that came following Mary after she left her house, they stood there with him. And as Jesus spoke to God in an audible voice, he even said, "God, you already know all these things, but I'm going to say it so they can hear it. So they know who's the real one here taking care of things. That the one that's going to raise this man out of the grave through me is you." And as Lazarus walked out of there, bound up in the cloth that they wrap him in when they pass, he came out still wrapped up in it. Probably pretty confused, I would assume, but understand why he's back to life. But he stands there before them so that they could all see what God had done and glorify God in the most highest way that he could. Through the weakness that Mary and Martha had, God was glorified even more. We're all weak. The Bible says we are. We have to look to him for help to serve him. I don't see any reason why our God couldn't raise somebody from the dead now. I've never seen it. I don't know if I want to see it, but our God's power has not diminished. He's still just as powerful today as he was then. And we take these things as we see, he raised Lazarus from the dead as a great, huge thing. And to our feeble human minds, it's a pretty big thing. To God, it's nothing. Nothing. I've heard, going back to Elijah on the tomb, we talked about that on the way up. But Elijah, as he stood there and talked to, they were yelling on Baal to try to get him to consume the fire. He joked with them, basically saying, maybe he's busy or maybe he's asleep. I love that. It's just kind of the funniest thing to me that I can see him being so sarcastic. I mean, where's your God at? Maybe he's off on a vacation. Maybe he's sleeping. Our God is there. Our God is not too small. Our God is bigger than everything. It's us that is weak. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is old Paul talking about the thorn in the flesh. Second Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This thorn in the flesh has been talked about for years, and I've been in debate over what it is. It's actually the thorn in Paul's flesh, and some say it may be eyesight, or some say it may be this or that, and it really doesn't matter. We all have a thorn in the flesh. And they talked about some of maybe the persecutions that he went with, or the people that mocked him. And I'll tell you what, we have all those things still today. We have people that are mocking us and saying we're crazy and we're brainwashed, and we have no support or no basis upon what we put our beliefs in. See that from your side. I can see how you could think that. I can't see God. I've never seen him. I felt him. I've sure felt him. But these things that were bringing Paul down, he talks about it. He prayed to God and said, please, three times, take whatever it was that was bothering him, that he felt was hampering him from doing the Lord's work. He asked him to take it away so that he may be whole and be exalted and be more able to move or go about, when really that was one of the things that was helping him, was that thorn in the flesh, was keeping him humble, was keeping him asking God. He kept him talking to God. And when finally Paul realizes that these weaknesses that we have, mostly I think for us today, it's going to be just sin. Sin in our own lives that is going to hamper us from being close to God. But those things that we have that keep us away from God can also be the same thing that we can use to get back with God and exalt Him. Now, I'm not saying go out and sin and do wrong just so you can get right, but we're going to do that naturally. We don't need to try to sin. It's going to happen. Those weaknesses that we have can be just the thing to get God uplifted. Can be just what we need to use find God and closer in our lives. If we have problems that we go about, if we would learn to take all of our problems and our needs and our worries and take them straight to God, we're going to get closer to God. Guess what? That's what God wants. That's going to exalt Him as we get closer to Him. I got to going through this and a little song came to mind. I'm like, wait a minute, I've heard this in a song before. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones in Him belong, for they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how big I am, I'm one of the little ones. I'm one of his little sheep that are out there that can't do anything without direction. I can't do anything without God's hand in it. I can't do anything right. And people say, well, you're just a big loser, aren't you? Yep, I sure am. Unless I've got God on my side, I'm a big loser. But I need God to be able to guide me along the way so that I can get to where he needs me to be. That thought about the I, we, and me needs to be out of everything that's been on my heart so much because I'm big in it. I've been just as sinful in that as anybody else. I want to do this for me. I want to do that for our little family. I want to do it that I've got me this or that. That's not the way it should be. Every part of my life as I go about and I look from thing to thing has to be, what does God want? What can I do for him? What do I do to forget myself altogether to bring God up? Every step, everything I do. And it's like the littlest things that we don't even think about. Those are the things I need to be pushing forward for God more than anything. Because that's the things that I do the most of. Yeah, one big thing is not going to equal out to the millions of little things that I do throughout my day. As I stand up here on Sunday mornings, that's probably my biggest thing I do for God all week. And I study for it and I pray for it. And I try to make sure I'm in the right spot to bring the message that he has. But I'm going to tell you, for every minute before this and every minute after this, I've got to walk with God that I need to make sure that I'm doing exactly the same thing, that I'm hitting my knees and I'm praying to him and begging him to guide me of what I should do. And I can say sorrowfully that I messed that up a lot. But our merciful and gracious God forgives me. I heard my dad pray many times, especially at the end of his prayer. He would usually say, I beg you to forgive me for my shortcomings and failures. And I didn't really understand what all that meant until I was much older. I have shortcomings all the time, where I don't go and do exactly what God wants me to do because I'm lazy, or I don't follow him, or maybe I didn't even ask him where I need to be at. And that leads to failures many times. And just as I was talking about the blessings that we have on a minute-to-minute basis of having the Holy Spirit around about us, protecting us, I need it so bad because the devil is right there on me every second and every minute. Just like I can thank him for the blessings, for him being around me, I know that the devil is right there ready to pounce. I know that his demons and his angels that are all around us, anybody tries to serve God, they're going to be there to try to stop you. As many of my little things they are on Instagram, I got a lot of religious things that come up and through different things. And this one guy was kind of making fun of people. He goes, kind of on the other side, but since I left Christianity, the devil doesn't mess with me at all anymore. Well, you're on his team now. He's not going to bother you if you leave to the God's side and you stop serving God. The devil don't care anymore. His job's done. You're already not serving God. You're not bringing God any kind of praise. You're not uplifting God. So why would the devil mess with you? He's going to mess with you when you're trying to push forward. When you take that first step out to try to be better, the devil's going to be there every step of the way from that on. Until he finds out that you are not going astray, that you are serious, that you're going to put it all behind God, and that he can't touch you anymore, he's going to be right there with you. You can believe it. Because as the little one that I am, guess what? You're one of the little ones too. You're one of God's little children. If you've been saved by his grace, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, as long as you don't know the Lord, you're perfect for him. You can't serve the Lord if you don't know the Lord. He's going to make sure to tell you all kinds of lies to make sure you don't try to find him. Where the truth is, you can find God whenever you want to. For free. Anywhere. Don't have to be up here on this bench. This Mona bench is a great place to come pray that we can pray with you. Other than that, that's all it's for. And I love it. I wouldn't be in a church without the Mona's Bench being open and available for lost people to come pray at. If it didn't have that, I'd make sure there's at least some chairs up here or something. But you get what? It doesn't mean anything. It's just a bench. It's just a convenient place to pray. No value in it at all, except for a convenient place to come where we can gather around you. Your seat that you're in right now, you can be saved in that just as well. I know, because he was. Saved just right in the seat about where he's at in Southside Missionary Baptist Church. That's where he was saved at. I was saved up here. That's just where I was saved at. My wife wasn't even in a Missionary Baptist Church and found God. He's everywhere. If you want to find him, he's there waiting to be found. He's calling you to find him. But your weakness that you have is the devil is going to give you every reason not to. You're too old, you're too young, you've done too many bad things, you're too embarrassed, you can't do this, you can't. One of the things that used to bug me a lot when I would go up and search, seek God, is I was afraid my underwear was going to show on top of my jeans. It bugged me to death, and I didn't want anybody to, as I bent over for my underwear to stick out. And it really hampered me as I went and prayed, because instead of worrying about praying to God, I was worried about my underwear. The devil will use whatever he can.
That's right.
To make you not be productive for God.
Yeah.
But Jesus loves us.
Amen.
And he's stronger than the devil. There's no competition there. Everything that we see around us and the bad that we have happen is because it's being allowed to happen. And that's what really gets people, and they don't understand, is that, well, why doesn't God stop it then? He could. He will one day. He'll stop it all one day. And why do these things happen? I think I've said it before. I don't know. I can't explain it. And the only thing that I can know to say is that these things happen so that God can be glorified.
Right.
You're like, well, how do you glorify God through a child's death? I don't know. It would be very hard. I can't imagine losing a child. I only have one, so I definitely can't imagine losing him or anything happening to him. But how would I take that and say that I need to glorify God through it? I would tell you, as a human, I know it would be very hard. As someone that has been saved by God and have read and know God's word, I would know that somehow, some way, it happened to glorify him. But it would be very tough. So as we go through many bad things in our life, and it may be loss of family or friends or that may pass on, as we've been through in my life of mother and father and grandparents and seeing those pass, and it's tough, but I knew each and every one of them is going to be, when they close their eyes in death, we're going to open them in, with God's heaven. And that made it much easier to let them go, because I knew they were in a much better place than they were in here. And I wouldn't bring them back for a second. But I know if I did, they would yell at me the whole time. But our weaknesses that we have can be used to glorify God. So instead of turning away from our weaknesses, instead of trying to cover them up, take them to God. Let him be glorified through our weaknesses. My last, I've got to read one more thing out of Isaiah chapter 40. Kind of tells us just how good God is for us, how mighty he is. Isaiah 40 and 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by numbers. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of their might, that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from thy God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, And he had, and to them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they should walk and not faint. If I feel weary from time to time, because I'm not following God, I'm not close enough to God. Because it says that He will give me my strength. I just got to go to Him for it. He's got plenty to give. I'm not worried about Him losing any power because He gives me a little bit to be stronger for Him. Because as I go to Him, knowing that I'm weak, knowing that I need Him, knowing that I have problems, and I need to take it to Him so that He can clear them up, so that He can make me whole again, to be a better servant for Him, He is uplifted and becomes even more powerful. Through my weaknesses, I can still serve God and uplift Him more than if I was anything else. I just need to fall upon God. So we can't take our weaknesses as reasons not to serve Him. Our weaknesses are more of a reason to serve Him. Our weaknesses that we have, our problems that we have, things that we might not want to say in church. I know sometimes we have unspoken requests. We don't want everybody to know what's going on. But those things, just like anything else, are going to be things that can strengthen us in God. So let's not push away our weaknesses and forget about them. Let's not shun our weaknesses and think, you know, this is a bad part that I have in my life. I need to forget about it and push it away. No, that's what we need to focus on. Take our weaknesses and get rid of them so that we be stronger soldier for God. Amen. That we can uplift Him, that we can serve Him better, that we can go about in this community and they can look upon us and say, there's something a little different about them. Because in the end, I don't want it for me. I want it for God. I want to be better and whole and feel better, not because of me, because of God. I don't want to lose, and don't get me wrong, there's fears that I have that I'd rather love to get rid of, but I don't want to do it for me, I want to do it for God. I want to be better for God. So many times in the world we say, you know, that we talked about that in Sunday school, is that the whole world tells you to go get it and get all you can and be the best that you can be and you deserve it and all that. That's great. Are you doing it for God? Boy, I know you're here and you ain't hearing me talk about you, but when he decided to go to Cincinnati instead of IU, which is where I wanted him to go, he's been brought up knowing to search heart, search God, find your answer through Him. And he told me he was going to Cincinnati, and I, of course, didn't like it. I just didn't like the campus, nothing wrong with the school, And I said, why? Because I was sure that he was going to Cincinnati just because I wanted him to go to IU. He said, because that's where God told me to go. For one, he probably knew that I couldn't argue with that, even though I tried. What's God know about college? Yeah, He knows everything about college. And He knows that I'm not trying to lift Him up. But as we make decisions and we ask God for help, because our decisions are weaknesses. Because when you're at a point where you don't know what you're doing, that's a weakness. You need to know what you're going to move forward with. And we ask God, and He gives us an answer, and we move forward with it. And then somehow I see that He has 7 or 8 boys that are very conservative and not crazy, as I call them. And they get together, and they respect each other, and they have a great friendship. And I'm like, okay, maybe God wasn't it. Maybe God didn't know about where to go. And that's a big decision coming out where you're going to go for a college or, you know, 4 years of your life that you're going to put forth to make decisions. But so is finding a husband or a wife. I know many of us that are married here. I know God gave me Katrina. She takes care of things like I can't take care of them. She keeps me in line. I know as I was trying to gather stuff up as we left the hotel, I even told the boys, like, I don't normally do this. I got to figure out how to do it because Mom usually cleans up everything as I'm finishing getting ready. But I think these little things that we forget to thank God for. He gave me my spouse. I'm thankful for that. As I go back to it, there's so many little things that He blesses us with. I feel I need to. I owe Him. I owe Him for everything, for my salvation, for the blessings. I can't ever repay it, but I should spend my life serving Him the best I can. So those weaknesses, I want to use them to make me better, so that I can be a better servant for Him. That's my message this morning. I know we all have things that we're weak in. You probably know what they are. Things that we want to see done. We may have family members that are weak and we still want to see back. We may have situations that are happening around us. Put it in God's hands. He can take care of it. That's my message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart this morning?